Today's lesson will be the fourth lesson in a series that the elders have asked me to preach on a variety of topics dealing with why we do or why we do not do certain things. This morning we're going to consider why we do not have a food pantry, why we do not use money from the church treasury to help those in need who are not members of the church. Benevolence is a word that's not used very often in daily conversation. The word benevolence means acts of kindness, charitableness, or doing good for ones in need. Call it benevolence, call it assistance or charity, but we're talking about helping people meet their physical needs. A lot of people believe churches should be actively involved in giving assistance to anybody in need. To them, this is an obvious expression of love. To them, this is what Jesus did. To them, this is the essence of Christianity. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells us that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Of particular interest to us this morning are the two occasions where Jesus miraculously fed several thousand people. The feeding of the 4,000 is very similar to the feeding of the 5,000, so I will read only Mark's account of the feeding of the 5,000, which is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. The text says, Mark 6, beginning in verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. And so Jesus fed people indiscriminately. He gave food freely to all who came to him in these particular instances. Some people insist that churches should emulate this behavior by having a food pantry or some other program aimed at feeding the hungry in the community. The following was taken from a website which gives a detailed description of a church food pantry. It says, "Churches with food pantries typically do not turn those away who are not members of their congregation. Instead, they tend to welcome everyone who is in need of help feeding their families. Some food pantries are run on a first-come, first-served basis, so it is helpful to find out the days and hours of the distribution schedule. Other food pantries may set up a lottery system to distribute the food. A lottery system is a system in which the order of distribution is determined by chance." The website goes on to say that many food pantries have eligibility criteria. Some food pantries may require families to fill out income verification forms, providing details such as household size, monthly net or gross income, and a proof of address. It's not unusual for pantries to use income guidelines similar to those used to qualify for food stamps or other governmental assistance. Now, I'm just going to take a moment to interject some pragmatic realism into the conversation. Population of Rantoul, Illinois is 12,371 according to the 2020 census. According to a website discussing statistics and facts regarding families in America, it said a family in the United States consists of 3.15 people on average. Based on that statistic, there are 3,927 families in Rantoul. Let's say there are only 250 families who regularly need assistance, and I'm inclined to think that's a conservative estimate. But if you gave those 250 families only $50 worth of groceries each month, which wouldn't buy much at today's prices, that would come out to $12,500 a month in assistance. If you gave them a $50 bag of groceries each week, that would come out to $50,000 a month. And that would still be far from meeting their needs. The purpose of Jesus' miracles was not just to fill empty stomachs. The purpose for Jesus' miracles was to convince people that he was who he claimed to be, that he was the Messiah, that he was from God, and ultimately that he was the Son of God. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 tells us that there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was spiritual. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus told Zacchaeus that he had come to seek and save the lost. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, speaking of Jesus, Paul said that he gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus did not come to earth to satisfy mankind's physical needs. Jesus did not come to cure sickness and disease and to feed the hungry. Jesus' primary concern was spiritual. Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was to die for the sins of all people. Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was to make salvation possible for mankind. And so it should come as no surprise that the primary mission of the church is spiritual. The primary mission of the church is teaching and instructing people to follow and obey the teachings of Christ. After Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, he met with the apostles and gave them what is called the Great Commission. He told them what their primary purpose should be in carrying out his mission into the world. Matthew's account of this is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Beginning with verse 16, we're told that the 11 disciples or apostles went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This is the 12 apostles minus Judas Iscariot. Then verse 18 says that Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And in Mark 16, verses 14 and 15, we're told that Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Then he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In Jesus' final instructions to his apostles, he did not even mention feeding the hungry or providing for the needy. Jesus' focus was on teaching the lost, making salvation available to all people, and in providing spiritual nourishment through teaching and preaching for his people, the church. One reason people often draw wrong conclusions about what the church can do is that they follow a faulty line of reasoning. They insist that the church is made up of Christians, and so whatever a Christian can do, the church can do, because they insist that whenever a Christian is doing something, the church is doing it. Though an individual can act on behalf of the church, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17 is a classic Bible passage which shows that there is a difference, there is a distinction between the individual and the church. It shows that individual action is not church action. In this passage, Jesus is giving instructions to the apostles, and he says, beginning in verse 15, "If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." This passage shows that one Christian, or even three or four Christians, is not the same thing as the church. The Bible makes a distinction between individual action and church action. For example, Jesus taught that individual Christians are responsible for helping others as we are able and as we have opportunity. In Luke chapter 10, read a few moments ago, a lawyer, a scribe, or a teacher of the law came to Jesus, and in verse 25, he asked Jesus, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Beginning in verse 26 and reading through verse 29, Jesus said, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then in verses 30 through 37, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, 'Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Then Jesus asked, 'Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?' The expert in the law replied, 'The one who had mercy on him.' Jesus told him, 'Go and do likewise.'" In essence, Jesus says the second greatest command is to love your neighbor as yourself, and this means that you are to help anybody who is in need as ability and opportunity allow. This is not a command to the church. This is a command to individuals. Though there are other passages on this topic which deal with individual responsibility, I'm just going to look at a passage in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4, 8, and 16, Paul says, "If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." Verse 8 says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Verse 16 says, "If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need." This text teaches that Christians in need who have family members who are Christians should be supported by their own family so that the church should not be burdened. Instructions are also given to determine whether a widow qualifies to be supported by the church. Verses 9 and 10 say, "No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds." This text shows that the church is to be very discriminating in determining who should be supported by money from the church's treasury. The church is to help only those who are really in need, verse 16. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul says, "Even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, but they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat." The individual Christian is given a broader range of responsibility in helping others than is given the church. Individual Christians are taught to help all others according to their ability and opportunity, doing our best to be sure we are only assisting others who are really in need. In terms of financial assistance in helping the needy, the church is given the responsibility only to care for its own, the Lord's people. We see New Testament instructions and examples of the church meeting the physical needs of Christians, members of the church. Acts 2, 44 and 45 tells us that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. The fact that anyone who had need in verse 45 applied only to all the believers is made clearer in the next passage, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Acts 4, 32 through 35 says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from the time those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone," implying anyone among them from the previous statements, "who had need." Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30 says that at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and indicated by the Spirit that there would be definitely a severe famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And to the extent that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren, Christians living in Judea. And they did this, sending it with Barnabas and Saul to the elders. Even though the famine was all over the world, a collection was made and assistance was sent only to brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the church. Every time in the New Testament that we see monetary resources, financial aid being given from the church's treasury, it is being sent to or given to Christians, the church, the Lord's people. In Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, Paul says, "Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem." And then in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. We have to be careful that we do not become guilty of requiring things of ourselves and others that God does not require, while ignoring the things that God does require. It's easy to want, it's easy to expect others or some organization to do something which alleviates our responsibility. But notice what Jesus said in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Verses 31 and 32 say, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him." Then verses 41 through 46 says, "Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison, did not help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Man looks at this and he's inclined to build an orphan home or some shelter or do something, create some organization from the church's funds to assist such people. But the church is never instructed to use its resources to help the people of the world with their physical needs. And the church is never condemned for not helping people of the world with their physical needs. But in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus condemns individuals who did not help others when they were in need. It is difficult not to be impacted by society, and we are becoming a society which more and more blames others for our problems and expects others to fulfill our responsibilities. If we want to follow Christ, we need to stop expecting others to do our work for us. It's not the church's role, it's not the church's responsibility to meet the physical needs of those in the world. So if you think more should be done to help the poor and needy, next time you see someone in need, someone who needs help, someone who's struggling, take out your wallet and be a good Samaritan. And that's the lesson.